Welcome to One More Dig, Metal Detecting Stories. I'm Dave Sponenberg. Welcome back, everyone. I'm about a week, maybe a little over later, doing this podcast than I expected. Although the last podcast about the Team Haunt was a week sooner than I normally would have. So I still think I'm probably late when you add all that up. But in the middle of all that, the family went to Iceland for a week, and we had a great time, and it's really pretty. We spent a lot of time driving, making sure that we saw all the important sights. You never know when you're going to get back to a place like that. But it was spectacular. We walked inside a glacier and a lava flow cave and swam in the Blue Lagoon, which is probably the most famous attraction there, and many other things. Lots of beautiful waterfalls and countryside, and their landscape changes so many times. And there's no trees, and whatever, there are trees in some places, I guess, but they're only about chest high, I'd say. So that they have no forests, and they have these huge lava fields that you can look at. And then there's areas that look like craters, and the story that the guide told us was that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, it was two of the astronauts that were the first to the moon, and they came and sort of acclimated themselves there, not atmospherically, but as far as just the terrain that they would be walking on, because it was very similar to that of the moon. But anyway, we had a great time. We recommend it to anyone. We were there 6 days, I think. The only thing we came back with, we didn't buy a lot of souvenirs, but one of the things we came back with was COVID. And my stepson, after all us old people, my wife and I went to bed, and my daughters went back to their room and Snapchatted or whatever they do. My stepson went to this wine bar that was right next to where we were staying and hung out with some of the locals. And he said that when he tested positive, when we got back, we asked him, do you know where you got it? And he's like, I know where I got it. And apparently he was hanging out, and there was a tall, attractive Icelandic woman that he was talking to, and she was coughing everywhere, he said, but it was worth it. And so he stuck it out. So anyway, he came back with COVID and then gave it to me. And then I gave it to my wife, who is still working through it. I feel great. He's all set. I feel great. I actually took a test Sunday and I tested negative. Basically, for me, it felt like a mild flu. Like flu adjacent, really. I didn't have it badly. I was lucky, or I don't know if lucky is the word, but I've had some pneumonia. I've had pneumonia 4 times in my past, and so I qualified for this new antiviral drug that they came out with recently, and it worked like a charm. I was really only sick for 3 days, maybe, and none of them were horrific. Just very congested, a little fever. So that pushed off the podcast. All that together, probably a week and a half or so. But anyway, I'm back. I'm a little disorganized here today, so I'll be probably pretty brief. I'm going to ask for a favor at the end, though. But I've been thinking about this topic. I actually post to some Facebook groups yesterday asking for some help with it, but I just thought I'd talk about wildlife a little bit, meaning wildlife that we encounter while we're out metal detecting. With me, with probably most of us, it happens quite a bit. And I just reached out to see if anyone had any stories about encounters that they wanted to share. And I had not as good of a response as I had hoped, so I'm gonna ask again right now, that any of you that have funny stories or scary stories involving wildlife while you're metal detecting, please email me at omdstories@gmail.com, and I'll have a small segment in the next podcast with those stories, with updates. I have a couple stories and then some stories of my own, just some neat things that happened when I was out swinging that involved animals, etc. I don't know if we can count ticks as animals, but if we did, it would be the most seen animal for me this year. They're really, really, really bad here in New Hampshire, or at least up in central New Hampshire where I live. I can't go out more than I just walk out of the truck, and it seems like they glom on to me. I was out working in the yard the other day, and I had one in my back and one oddly in the palm of my hand that had latched on. I have no idea how that would happen, but I wasn't paying very good attention to what I was doing. But I should be okay with ticks. For now, the fields, I generally only hunt fields, as you all know, and the hay is really high right now between waist and like stomach high, and I think they'll probably be cutting it at least by the end of June, and they might get lucky and get a second cutting this year. They didn't last year. But they might even be able to cut sooner than maybe in a couple weeks, actually. But so I'm done going out for now until the hay's cut. And so that'll eliminate my tick count while metal detecting. And so just a couple cool stories, a couple things that I noted while I was out there. I was hunting out in some fields last fall, and it's a kind of a neat little place where there's little fields that are cut back in but have woodlots, and they aren't big fields. There's like the one I'm talking about right now that I'm gonna tell you this story is literally a cut back hay area. I wouldn't even say it's an acre. Probably, maybe 2 acres. And I'm not sure why it was maintained like that. It originally used to be a pathway where cattle went from the fields to the pond to drink water. They used to, but it's just this little 1 acre. It ends, and then where the path would have gone is just trees and brush and whatever. But every year they cut this, and I don't know. I haven't seen if it's the farmer that goes in and cuts it with his tractor, or if it's fairly close to the landowner. I don't know if they go in and mow it or whatever. But it's a really interesting little thing, and I found a token for a clothing, a copper token about the size of a large scent. Right in the middle of it one time, and it was a token to a clothing store in Faneuil Hall from the 1800s, and it was pretty corroded up and whatever, but I was able to clean it enough to identify it, And so, but in this field that I was walking down before I came into it, I turned the corner and I saw there was a buck sitting, like laying bedding right on the edge of the hedgerow, looking out so it could see every. It was lower than the hedgerow and it was looking out and it could see all the way around it, to see if something was coming. And I just stopped and he saw me, but he sat there for felt like a minute or two and we just stared at each other. And I knew if I picked up my camera or my phone that I would have spooked him right away. But that was really cool and it was a big deer. So that was kind of fun and neat little crevice of a field. It's weird. There's like some big fields and then they cut back. You can just walk in and all of a sudden there's a 10-acre field, surrounded by woods and things like that. Right near where I saw that deer previously, it was probably the year before, there was a flock of turkeys, and I was not in that field. I was in one next to it that isn't hay and isn't plowed. It's sort of junk, and they brush hog it once a year, and I go in and I found a nice crotobell there once and part of a coin purse and whatever. But I was walking down along the edge and I just saw something and dead still it was a hen turkey laying under like this brush. It was all dead sticks though, like someone had, cut some branches or whatever and threw them in the woods and just dead still and just watching me go along and never moved and I didn't do anything to spook her, but that was pretty cool. See a lot of turkeys out in the fields, as probably everyone does. And the next coolest thing, oh, I have this set of porcupines. I don't know if they're twins or not, but there's two fields that they love that are one's across the street from the other. And I've hunted alongside of them dozens of times. It's really funny. They just stick their heads to the ground and dig for grubs or whatever they're doing, and I detect, and doesn't matter what side of the road I'm on or not, they're seems like they're always there. No matter where I am on the property, I can look over in that direction and they're always there. I don't get close, obviously, but they don't seem to be afraid of me either. Let's see, and then I wrote down snakes. I mean, there's myriad of garter snakes and things. I do live in Concord, and there's a hill called Rattlesnake Hill that purportedly has rattlesnakes. I literally can see it from where I live, and I can hear them blasting. There's a granite quarry up on top, but I've never seen any rattlers, thankfully. I guess that's it for, I mean, you see lots of different squirrels and rabbits and things. But that's one of the things I like most about metal detecting. I spend more time outside than inside. And it's fun to see. It's fun to see all the wildlife. Let's see. I have a couple of stories. Oh, this is another one that's me. That's my story. Last year, the end of the year, I hunted right until snow. And this was probably November, late November, I was walking around a new permission who's near my other permission, and I can walk all in between it. And there were these giant, I didn't know what they were at first, but they were these giant, maybe 3 inches thick, big around as a pie plate, piles all over the place. And I mean, I didn't know what they were. At first, I was like, is this some sort of like mushroom or something? Because the tops were, flat and sort of shiny, I guess. And I ran into one of the landowners, and I asked, and I, well, I didn't even ask him. He came up to me and he's like, hey, did you see the cattle up here? I'm like, no. So apparently, there's a farm down the street, and the guy will take care of cattle for farmers for, for a fee. It's his business. And so there's a farmer a couple towns away, might have been one town away, and I think it was in Warner or Hopkinton, New Hampshire, somewhere west of where I am. But they brought down a few head of cattle, and I can't remember how many, but it was several. And they broke out and they were running all over the countryside through all the different fields and farms. And they were just giant cow patties everywhere. I thought it was I didn't know. I thought it had to be a mushroom or something. I've never seen anything like that. It was really funny when he told me, and obviously I made sure not to step in him, and it was a pretty good story. They had to do all kinds of stuff to get them all corralled, because once they got out, they didn't stay together. They wandered around. But that was fun. That was late last fall. And then you all remember Clark. Clark sent me an email or a message, and to remind me, and I don't remember this story that I'm going to tell you, and I'm not even sure if I was there. But one of the places the Longhouse treasure hunters have detected over the years is a Boy Scout camp. And quite often, and early in the spring for the campers aren't there yet, but the ranger for the property lives there in a cabin on site. And so we got in there, it's probably sometime in April. We used to try and get in pretty early, and there was a rabid raccoon running around, and I can't remember, I don't think I was there, but Mark was telling me that the thing was just wandering around and they saw it, and then the ranger came out and shot it. So, I mean, there's a wildlife story. I guess the team was in peril, and by a rabid raccoon. I think I said raccoon before. It was a raccoon. Oh, and I almost forgot. There was one day I was hunting way up in a field by the woodlot, and it was getting dark, and I was getting ready to walk back to the car. It wasn't too far away, and all of a sudden, I heard the coyotes go, and it was, in that weird twilight area, and a twilight time of day, and it was really piercing. And I mean, I wasn't scared, but it was pretty cool, and it was pretty eerie, let me tell you. So that's all for wildlife. I still want to hear some stories. Maybe there aren't any from any of you. I don't know. Maybe you folks down in Florida could tell me some stories about running into different fish in the water, or jellyfish, or getting attacked by people's pets while you're trying to detect. Or there's got to be things going on out there, or maybe out there in the Pacific Northwest getting attacked by grizzly bears or something. Maybe not. So two more things. I'm gonna tell you a quick story. I've talked about my father-in-law before, and the episode Fake Coins was about a couple of fake Spanish coins that he found down on the Gulf Coast in Florida. They were both fake and whatever, but he found those, and then I did a podcast on it. Last week, he calls me up and he says, "Dave, they just plowed the field out back. You want to go out? I'm going to go out for a couple hours." And I was like in my second day or third day of COVID, and I didn't feel real sick, and but it just wouldn't have been, I just wouldn't have felt right going out with him. I mean, he's, I just don't want to get anybody sick, and I don't want to, I mean, we could have stayed apart, obviously, and what, but I still just didn't want to get into it. So an hour or two later, I get a call, and he's frantic in the field, and he kept telling me, "I found something. I found something good. I don't know what it is." The backstory is he just started detecting 2 years ago with me, and he spends a lot of time in Florida going, and he's only been, well, a few times, probably a couple dozen times, on the land, and he lives near a farm, so usually out in that field. But he called me, and he was so excited, and he's never seen one of these that he found, and blah blah blah. So he tried to text me something, and it didn't go through. And where he lives, there's sort of a like a Verizon thing, bad connection kind of thing. So I had him FaceTime me, and so that hung up a little bit, and then finally it went through. And he's like, "I'm so excited. I think I really found something." I said, "Well, hold it up." And he held it up, and it was a 1901 Barber coin. And I said, "Wow, nice find, Mike," because that's his oldest coin. He's never found a Barber. He's found other silver, but not a Barber coin, not one that old. And so I said, "What does it say on the back?" And he said, "Half dollar." And I was like, "Oh my God, I've never found one of those in 40 years." So I pulled the whole Longhouse Treasure Hunters, because there's so many decades and so many good things that have, so much silver that have been found by all these guys. And so in the last 50 years, between seven of us, I figured it out. It's like 220 man years. We've only found six Barber half dollars. And it was so exciting to see how happy he was. And I'm gonna get him a nice little case to put it in. And I think Earl found three, Lumpy found two. I never found one. Clark found one. Jay never found one. Steve never found one. And Kirk hasn't gotten back to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he's found one or two, but he's been going for 50 years with Earl. But still, so six in 50 years for the club. Pretty impressive. He was really excited, and he should be. I'm sort of jealous, but not really. I'd rather he got it than I did. But it was good that I was sick. And I think he said they've already fertilized the field, so he got a one day window on that deal and it paid off for him. Sometimes it's just motivation. He had the moment and he seized it. So let that be a lesson to you. I don't think it was his one more dig, but it was one amazing dig for sure. And the last thing that I want to do, and I'm making a little noise here, I'm sorry. All right, today we're going to do the signal of the podcast is going to be in my father-in-law's honor, a barber. Any barber coin can be used for this. And you take your right hand and you make a fist, and with the side, you pretend you're shaving your cheek. And that's all it is. And let your buddies know, and they'll know what it is, and then you can tell each other. So, unfortunately, I wasn't there, so he couldn't give me the sign, but I got to FaceTime real time anyway, and that was kind of fun. So, that's it for this episode. I just want to hear some wildlife stories, so please email me at omdstories@gmail.com. I don't care how good or bad. I see so much stuff here. I just want to see what other people are seeing. And like in Florida, do you have any panthers running around you while you're trying to detect or, you know what I'm getting at. But I think that's it. If you have anything you want to ask, if you want to contribute a story about wildlife or anything else, if you want to just say hello and tell me what you think of the show, just send me a message to omdstories@gmail.com. And I want to thank you all for listening. This has been One More Dig, Metal Detecting Stories, and I'm Dave Sponenberg.